You know, many years ago, Betty Crocker, after they began selling their cake mixes, and after they had tweaked them, you know, they kind of tasted like cardboard back in your grandmother's day, but after they tweaked them and they got really, really good at it, they offered a brand new product. And this new product was so advanced that all you had to do is add water. And without fail, consistently, the cake would turn out perfectly every time. You take the box, you put it in the bowl, you just add water, and it was delicious, same every time. No one bought that cake mix. It totally bombed. It was a terrible, terrible, terribly unsuccessful product. Well, the company thought, you know, they had finally got it right, and they didn't understand why no one would buy this product. And so they kind of commissioned a study. I guess there are people that do that sort of thing. And they found out something that was really kind of surprising. They found out that women did not buy this cake mix because it was too easy. That the women didn't want to appear lazy. They didn't want to bake a cake and not get some accolades for the cake. They didn't want to be totally excluded from the preparation of baking a cake. They wanted to feel like they contributed something to the process. And so Betty Crocker changed the formula of this cake. And they changed it so that the consumer had to add an egg and add some oil. And voila, the new cake mix was a huge success. Women would buy that because it was better because they contributed something to the cake mix. Unfortunately, many people make the same mistake when it comes to packaging the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't want to make it sound hard. And we simplify it. And we make this mistake when we present the Christian faith because we try to turn the call of Christ into something that is very, very easy for people to do, because we want to make it something that is just so easy for them that people are not afraid to try. But realistically, we Christians know, don't we? And realistically, we know that for the most part, after we become Christians, sure, we have peace in our hearts, but we know realistically that life gets more challenging after we become a Christian. We know that there are times after we become Christians that life becomes even downright difficult with unsaved family and friends, with work, and even with the everyday living of our lives to be good Christian witnesses. Now, Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Now, Jesus then explained what he meant, and he said, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it. And it's true in life, isn't it? If we're going to get anything out of life at all, we have to put something into it. We have to jump feet first into life. We have to invest something in life to get something out of life. Young people, if you guys want to pass a test, you have to study, don't you? You have to invest some effort into passing that test. If you want to do well in school, you have to do more than just show up and warm a seat. You have to, if you want to do well. You have to invest something in the school experience. How many times have you heard that, by the way? You're not applying yourself. Farmers, if you're a farmer, to get a good crop. You know, you can't just sit and wait for volunteer corn to come up. You have to plow. Well, not that you want that to come up anyway, but you have to plow. You know, you have to seed. You have to fertilize. You have to put the white stuff on there. You have to do all that stuff. I can't remember what they call that. Lime. You have to do that. And that's how you get a good crop. Now, I don't know if you remember the second to last album that the Beatles did. It was called Abbey Road. Now, many people believe that it was their best. And the last song kind of seemed like a very small afterthought, but it was called The End. Very succinct. And it's the last statement that the Beatles make on their album. And now, I don't know if you remember how it went. It's been a long time. Bear with me. And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make. Oh, that didn't come out so bad. Oh, I was really sweating that. More than the rest of the sermon, you have to know. And what they were saying is what you get out of something is equal to what you put into something. And the truth of that statement is written in all of creation. And it's evident for anyone who has eyes to see. And it's even found in something as small as a grain of wheat, a seed. Now, the first thing Jesus said was that when a grain of wheat falls, it dies. Now, we are hearing Jesus say these words while he's standing in Jerusalem. And the feast of the Passover is over. It is the week of his death. And the town, bless you, the town is hosting thousands of pilgrims. And the streets are packed shoulder to shoulder with people. And not only are there Jews that are gathered for this required festival, but there's a lot of Gentiles who are converts to the faith because they came too. And they're there because they know this is Israel's most holy event. And that there is no more reverent way to worship the Lord than at the temple on Mount Zion in the holy city. And they hear Jesus has just arrived. And they know that many people think that Jesus is the Messiah and the new King of Israel. So they really press the disciples. They want to see Jesus. Now, I have to tell you, and you may have heard this, that down through the ages, there have been some scholars that suggest that these aren't really converts, that they're plants by the Roman government to spy on Jesus. Well, I mean, that could be, but there is no place in the text that suggests that. There's no place in the text that would lead us to believe that they're anything more than what the text says they are. They are believing Gentiles. The scriptures say that they went up to worship at the feast. But either way, Jesus takes this opportunity to make an announcement. And he makes this announcement that his ministry is changing. It is game over. The hour has come. The time is at hand. It is the time, Jesus said, for the Son of Man to be glorified. It was at that moment that the last second ticked off the clock. You see, his answer to those Gentile believers was that there was no more time for training new disciples. There wasn't even any more time for miracles to convince more people. There was no more time left for debates with religious leaders. There was no more time left on earth. The passion was at hand. The grain of wheat had left the stalk and it was falling to the ground. Death was a certainty, and really, the rebirth was totally not expected yet. Now, for the disciples, this was a very crucial moment, and it would be a model for them for the rest of their lives that they would spend on the earth. Would they be willing to follow Jesus and serve as he had done? You see, from this moment on, the question for them was, what were they willing to invest? What were they willing to put into their walk with Jesus? That became the pressing question. Jesus said, whoever loves me must follow me. He said, where I am, you will be also. And he walked in some difficult places. Now, next week is the crowning achievement of Lent. We have walked this journey. And we will relive, along with Christians all over the world, the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord. It was a critical moment for the disciples. But you see, now it's become a critical moment for us after this journey. Because the question Jesus is asking us now is, what are you willing to invest in your walk with me? What are you willing to put into your walk with Jesus? The question becomes for us at the end of Lent, do we intend to follow him? If we do, then we have to serve. Do you want to know what the secret of a spiritually alive church is? Do you want to know what that secret is? It's a church full of people who do not serve their own wants and wills. It's a church full of people who think outward and not inward. You know, on Wednesday evening, Pastor Brian quoted John Wesley. Now, John Wesley, he wrote a lot of stuff that was worth quoting. He was a cool guy. And in his Methodist Rules of Conduct, he made a list. And this is part of that list. Do all you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, for as long as ever you can. See, that's why he's so cool to quote. Now, that's the meaning of the Passion. The crucifixion is the ultimate example of God serving us, so that we might serve one another as long as we live this earthly life. And that brings us to Jesus' second announcement. Jesus said, when that grain of wheat falls, it bears much fruit. Now, a few years ago, there was a movie that I loved. It was called Mr. Holland's Opus, and I know it was a chick flick, give me a break. It was. I admit it. Sometimes you can't watch Bond all the time. Mr. Holland was played by Richard Dreyfuss, and he dreams of being a composer. Well, John can all the time, but okay, I can't. Okay. Richard Dreyfuss plays Mr. Holland, and he's a writer. He's a composer, and he gets married. He has a son, and he has to support his family. He takes a job at a school teaching. And he plans to spend his spare time composing music. Well, you know how it goes. Life crashes in. He's overwhelmed with teaching, overwhelmed with family responsibilities. Teaching consumes his life. Composing goes out the window. And at the end of his days, when his teaching career is over, his heart is broken, you see. He has fulfilled all of his obligations. He had said no to all of his own hopes and his own dreams. And he invested his whole life in his responsibilities. And he thinks that he has failed. He thinks that he has failed in his life. He never had the opportunity to write the great music that was in his heart. But his hopes and his dreams come true in another way. It turns out that he had written his opus, and he didn't write it on paper, but he wrote it on the lives of his students. And all of those students from all different walks of life, they come back to honor him. It was a chick flick. But that's what Jesus is getting at. When a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it produces many seeds. When we are willing to invest all that we are, our whole lives, into the service of the Lord, he multiplies that offering. And he takes care of everything else. Like the perfect pieces of a puzzle come in together. Now Jesus refers to himself to teach us. The grain of wheat that dies and bears much fruit is Jesus himself. And that's the third point that I want to make, and it is the most important one. Jesus isn't just teaching us to serve. He isn't teaching us the value of service. This is not a Christian version of Make a Difference Day. This is not a worldly pay it forward, in other words. Jesus said, my Father will honor the one who serves me. The Lord is the one we serve. The Lord is the first one on the list. It is crucial to see that as we look out, that humble service does not take place unless Jesus dies first. Jesus has to be the first grain that falls from the stalk and dies, or we can bear no fruit. Now, John records these words, but I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Do you remember the good snake? It's the good snake. Jesus' cross comes first. After we come to the cross, only after we come to the cross, that's when we can carry our own. You see, we are his workmanship. We are the first fruits, the Apostle Paul tells us. No one in this sanctuary here today can serve unless we first go to the foot of the cross. Now, people can do good things. And people do good things. And many people even do good things in the church. But those things are empty and without meaning to God unless they begin at the cross. It is a shame that for many liberal denominations, you know, the cross is not important anymore. The blood of Christ is not important anymore. You know, theologian H. Richard Niebuhr, he condemns this crossless Christianity, and he's a real sarcastic guy, so bear with me. And he says that liberal Christianity is a God without wrath, bringing men without sin into a kingdom without judgment through the ministrations of a Christ without a cross. In other words, you know, there is no Christianity without the cross. There is no lasting service without the cross. The cross is non-negotiable. Being a Christian isn't easy. The cross is where we learn that God planned a trade. God's willingness to take our sins on himself, it offers a trade for the righteousness of Christ if we're willing to put our life into it. You know, there's a good story called Matthew 7, 8, and 9. It's about a man who tries to stop his son. His son's name is Matthew, and his son's like really likes to steal comic books. And he tries to stop his son, Matthew, from stealing comic books, this dad. And the man tries all kinds of different creative ways, and finally he loses his temper, and he just goes postal on this poor little boy. And the father was so upset that he lost his temper so incredibly, awfully with this boy that he goes into another room and he cries. And many years later, Matthew and his mother were reminiscing, and Matthew brought up the time when he was a young boy that he used to steal these comic books. And he said, do you know why I finally stopped? And his mother said, sure, because Dad spanked you. And he said, no, that wasn't it. He said, I stopped because I made Dad cry. Now, the last week of Jesus' life is called the Passion for a reason. God weeps for the sins of each one of us. But what are you willing to invest? And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make. Christ's broken body is what makes us whole. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we praise you for Lent because it reminds us that we're getting it all wrong. We have a distorted understanding of what it means to be one of your children. So help us to remember that when we are sold out for you, when we give you everything and all that we are, that you take care of everything else in our lives, and the burdens are lifted and it comes together like a puzzle. Help us to be that committed to you. For we pray it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.